Hello and welcome into episode number 53 of the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. Thank you, as always, for downloading and subscribing to our podcast. We do appreciate you taking time to listen, and we always appreciate the feedback. Now, coming up on today's show, Mark Belcher from Henshaw's Knowledge Village makes a very welcome return to update us on two initiatives that Henshaw's have been doing around Travel Assist and making NHS services more accessible. Stay right where you are. That's all to come. Well, the all-important email address, of course, is podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. If you would like to get in touch with us, we always love to hear from you and with your comments and suggestions. Or if you have something you want to talk about on the show and you want to come on and share something with us, then please do. We always love to hear from you. I always love hearing how people are using technology, how people are pushing the boundaries of technology, to be honest, because we have to make technology work for us, don't we? And we have to make sure that it does what we need it to do at the time we need it to do it. Looking forward in just a minute to catching up with Mark Belcher, because we had Mark on the show last year and delighted to have him back to find out what's going on at Henshaw's. But before that, we've mentioned, I think, on this show before, the Hable One, this tiny little Bluetooth keyboard that we've been chatting about for the last little while. We have a couple of videos on sightandsound.co.uk and on our social media. And it's been getting quite a bit of traction between ourselves and the RNIB. And we're running a special event, I suppose, that we're calling the Hable One Challenge. And this is in conjunction with our friends from Hable in the Netherlands. And for 2 weeks in March, you're going to have the chance to try out the Hable One. So if you haven't used this device yet, or maybe you've had it in your hands, maybe you know someone who has it and they showed it to you and you kind of said, be interested in that. We're giving people the chance to participate in the challenge. You get a device sent out to you and you get some support over a WhatsApp group, and you'll even get some training and spend 2 weeks playing with it, basically. And hopefully every day you'll post to the WhatsApp group with videos or posts and tell us what you're doing with it. And at the end of the 2 weeks, two people from the group will win a Hable One device, and everybody else who has the device will have the opportunity to purchase it if you want, or of course send it back if you don't. If you're interested in that, all the details are on sightandsound.co.uk. Hable One Challenge, I think, is going to be an interesting event, so do get in touch if that's something that is of interest to you. Now, early last year, I think it was about April, on this podcast, we introduced Mark Belcher, who is one of the great people behind Henshaw's Knowledge Village. And at the time, if you remember, Mark was telling us all about the Knowledge Village, what it was, etc., and also a lot about Henshaw's and the huge range of technology services that they're providing to people in the greater Manchester area, and I think a little bit further afield as well. But we thought it would be a good idea to check in with Mark, because Henshaw's have been doing some really interesting stuff to help public services make their service offerings more accessible. That's always something we're interested in here. So, Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Stuart.
Great to have you. I know we've been kind of chatting last week. You joined us on a webinar. Every time I talk to you, you seem to be, busier than the last time. There seems to be more going on.
Well, I think it's all about technology, isn't it? It's always keeps us on our toes. So we're a busy bunch. All of us are very busy. Lots of people out there that need support. And we're always kind of hungry for something different as well, because it is about inclusivity, making sure, everything's available for people with sight loss. So we're always sticking our noses where it's needed, I think.
Okay. I know sort of on the last show we talked about the Knowledge Village, and I think people can go back through the archives if they want to hear that. But I kind of wanted to chat to you today about some interesting stuff you're doing. You were mentioning Travel Assist to me, and I suppose what popped into my head was that people have been, you know, locked away in many cases for the best part of 2 years. And then you're talking about getting back into the open, potentially difficult, challenging time for people. Tell us a bit about Travel Assist.
Yeah, so Travel Assist. So first off, you are right, actually. People that have had confidence about going out and about have definitely lost some confidence over the last 2 years. You know, I've personally been working with people that are trying to get back that confidence of getting back into transport, getting back into kind of, you know, communal areas again. So it is something that we need to be mindful of. And Travel Assist was a project. It probably still is a project. We've finished now. We've done a blog, and we've got the second blog should be coming up within the week or so. But it was with Transport for Greater Manchester and a couple of tech providers looking at a solution, really, for people on their journey. So it was kind of two things. One of them's kind of been done before, and that's having a route plan from your journey, from your kind of sofa to your seat. So using, you know, technology that tells you which bus and which train and the stops and all that jazz. So that's kind of, everyone knows what that's about. But the interesting thing for us was this other element, which was basically video support from the staff at Greater Manchester Transport. So essentially it would connect the person that needed support's phone via an app to the control center. So it was like a Be My Eyes solution where, you know, the staff at Greater Manchester Transport could then support the person on the ground by looking, being able to see through the camera, the camera on the phone, and communicate with the individual as well.
Were these guys, for example, I don't know, you might have a blind person who's approaching, say, Manchester Piccadilly train station, for example, and going inside and wanting to find a particular platform, could they connect to someone over the phone?
Yes. You know, we've all been there where we got dropped off at a platform that we're familiar with. And then all of a sudden you're not familiar with it because the route's changed and you've not got a clue where you are and you need some kind of support. Well, this gives the operator some visual support, so they could, you know, get you around an obstacle or get you to the right, you know, ticket station or anything, basically. Any kind of issue you might have, they could actually be your eyes.
It sounds, and it, you know, Mark, it kind of sounds interesting because the people giving that guidance, as you said, are members of the transport staff or transport team.
Yeah.
And with the greatest of respect to Be My Eyes or other services, because there are other services, I suppose we should say, maybe the people who'd be assisting wouldn't have that level of familiarity with a train station and couldn't get you out as efficiently.
Exactly. So, and the team would be electronically connected, so they'll have all the systems. So if you kind of miss the train and you're panicking and you're trying to get to another kind of platform, they'd have all that technology. But also they'll have an understanding of the space as well that they're supporting people from as well. So yeah, so it, you know, specialist support that's literally right on the phone for you. So really interesting program and project. And we did some training with the staff, and we did some sighted guide, and we did some demos as well. We even helped them kind of adjust the app ever so slightly, so it was a little bit more usable and accessible for people with sight loss. Kind of, there was a couple of things. What we knew, I mean, instantly we knew there was going to be one big problem that we all know. Soon as we talked about it, we went, you know, it's probably going to fail on this, and it did. And it was the Wi-Fi infrastructure. Just when you needed it the most, it let you down. So then that was the worry. Then that was kind of a safety issue. you know, you were taking somebody along the journey, and halfway through the critical bit of the journey, your signal goes, and what you're going to do about it then. So they had a few instances where that happened, like it's happened to us all, and that was just not appropriate, really, for, you know, something that was trying to be, you know, trying to address kind of security and safety. So I think that's one of the things for all accessible cities, I suppose.
And that's always the challenge, isn't it, with technology, where maybe something does fail, and as we all know, fails at the time that we might need it most. And it's maybe not so bad, Mark, if it fails for you or me or other people who are a little more comfortable with technology. But if you're not, and especially if you're in a place where you're not very confident, or you don't know the area, it's unfamiliar to you, that's very can be very stressful. So yeah, I can imagine that's is this project, is this going to continue as a service then, provided by the Travel Assist scheme?
The idea was it was going to become a service, but because of the infrastructure, and there was another point that was obvious again, kind of, if you imagine, you know, you're a traveler, you might have a bag, you might have a guide dog, you might have a cane, and now you've got a phone in your hand. All these kind of things, you know, became quite a difficult journey. So there was one kind of understanding, a kind of nod to the future, really, about, you know, wearables and wearable cameras. So your phone, it's kind of a totally hands-free journey. It was just, we just felt it was a little bit too much, you know, coupled with probably a very stressful situation as well, or she wouldn't have bothered even calling the Travel Assist. So you've got all that technology and you've got all that non-hands-free solution. And then, you know, coupled on top of that is dodgy Wi-Fi. Mm. So it's kind of parking it and hoping for the future will get a little bit better with regards to wearables and, you know, Wi-Fi infrastructure.
Okay. And I suppose even if you're not going to use this straight away, the learning, I'm sure, from the tests that you guys done, carried out, have been very useful to let you kind of work out what needs to improve.
Exactly, Stuart. I mean, you know, when you read the second blog that's not out yet, it was a success because everything all the parts of the project that we went through was the learning curve for everybody. And it was just, again, it's just not the right time to release something like that. But, you know, the fantastic thing about it is they're thinking like this. And that's half the that's half the battle, getting people to think a little bit more inclusively about their services and how to support, you know, vulnerable people in situations. So, you know, that was a fantastic opportunity for us, and it's still there. It's still, you know, it's not been binned. It's just shelved at the moment, waiting for the right time.
Sounds good, and one that we should definitely keep an eye on with yourself. Now, I want to come on to the other one, I suppose, which was something you've been doing with the NHS, and one of the challenges, I suppose, is around, you know, all the things we've had to think about and the ways we've had to readjust our lives because of COVID. And you've been kind of doing things with the NHS to help their service and help the people, who you would work with as well.
Yeah, I mean, professionally, NHSers are a great friend of the NHS. You know, we've got ECLOS in Manchester Royal Hospital. We've got one over in Trafford as well. We really are, you know, respected and linked in. This one supposed was a little bit left field. We were contacted by Manchester Combined Authority and asked to take part in a project that basically wanted to look at any disadvantaged group or groups with, you know, specific disabilities to work out if and how and why not. Their communities are engaging with the NHS app. So this isn't the COVID-only app, which hopefully is going to be kind of replaced with something else. This is the total NHS services app. So you can get your passport your COVID passport on it. True. But this is much more deeper than that. This is giving you access to something like Health A to Z. So, you know, if you've got a query about a health condition, you can go online through the app and find about all sorts of things. You can look at prescriptions. You can look at your past medication. You can get in touch with health practice professionals by 111. So there's various ways you can communicate and be supported by NHS. I just wanted to see what barriers there are for people. So we've been doing surveys and we've been doing kind of case studies on all types of people, people that are connected but not bothered going and trying the NHS app, trying to work out why they've done that and if they want to kind of take the leap and trust in those services, right through to people that are just totally militant. You know, I know it's there, but I'm never going to use it. We've had all sorts, even a guy, you know, that you would have heard this before, but it's just true. And as soon as you write it down, you kind of realize I'm not going to get involved in NHS online services because I actually like walking to my GP.
Sure.
It gives me something to do.
Yeah.
So, so we've done, I think we're coming up to 300 surveys and we did a separate survey. So we're going to have like 500 kind of respondents to this. It finishes at the end of this month. So it's still an opportunity to go on the survey, and you're going to ask me for that survey, but I'm not going to be able to tell you. You'll have to go to Henshaw's Knowledge Village, and in the blogs there's a blog that gives you the details if you so wish.
Okay, so go to the Knowledge Village, find the blog, and access the survey. It's kind of it strikes me as you're talking, you know, it's really important to do these things and to test these things, because so many of us, I think, with services that we're engaging, if you don't have a great experience initially with an app or a website, you're trying to register for something, because I know I've done this myself, you kind of just think, oh, it's too much bother. I'm not going to bother doing that. Actually, maybe you're missing out on loads of other things that could be there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the massive obvious, if you ever subscribed to an NHS app, and they know it, don't get me wrong, but when you read it, it really comes home how impossible it is to register, unfortunately. It's just a nightmare for anybody. And it was interesting because we did a couple of blogs. So Richard, who I work with, he did a blog about getting connected, you know, getting on it. My blog was really about how I personally use NHS services. And to be honest, I always have, even pre all this COVID and even the app, if I could call my GP or email him, then I would, instead of going to the surgery. They just kind of don't go like going to surgeries because they're usually full of sick people. But yes, so Richard's blog is really a real difficult read because it just tells the truth how difficult it is to get online. And it was that bad a read, and I'm saying that in a nice way, that I asked him to do like an executive summary because I said, mate, I read it all and I really wish I hadn't. So if you give me an executive summary, I just know what pain I'm going to go through right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's been great on the app. Just to kind of change tact a little bit. There's on the app, we actually found a faulty, non-described button. Well, Alice did actually. So using VoiceOver on iOS, on an Apple phone, you can actually put your COVID passport into your Apple Wallet, right? Which is great. But the Apple Wallet logo, the icon, isn't named. So you wouldn't actually be able to do it. You won't be able to hear what button you've got. So we actually, you know, a little old... little old Alice, working for a small charity in Greater Manchester, found a bug in the NHS app. So we're dead proud of that. But and hopefully they're going to change it before I write my report.
Great. And, you know, and well done, Alice. And I suppose, look, it just shows the importance of testing these things and getting people with different experiences and comfort levels of assistive technology to join the testing as well. I think that's really important. Absolutely. Mark, you guys are doing great work. I'm looking forward to seeing how that piece with the NHS continues. And of course, people can, as you said, go to the Knowledge Village, read the blog. And if you want to participate, you have till the end of the month to feedback, really useful feedback, I think. I wanted to, just before we let you go, because I know you're very busy and you were particularly busy today, doing something with a device that we're going to be talking about on a very soon to be released podcast, and that's the Onyx Oxyte, the Oxyte Onyx even, which you've been playing with this, right?
Yeah, we have. We've been doing, we're following in Oxyte's terminology, so we've been doing the clinics or demo days. So we've been inviting people to Bolton. I'm actually working from Bolton today. It's we've got a clinic in Bolton. We've got another clinic in a couple of weeks in Tameside. And then we're going to do one in Manchester as well. It's getting really interesting results. In fact, today we've sold one to Albert. So Albert's going to enjoy watching the rugby, I believe. That's why he's buying it. So Albert got, and his daughter was welling up. Albert got instant kind of gratification. I mean, instant. He could see a lot clearer, faces, facial expressions. The TV was okay, better. He believes he needs to kind of play with the contrast of the TV. We've got like an old plasma here. But the reaction, honestly, mate, the reaction to the seeing someone's face, his daughter's face, and then her reaction, thinking that he's going to see her daughter's face, was fantastic.
Is that tough for you to be standing in a room when that's happening, and these guys are, you know, very emotional. It can be a very, very difficult, in the best possible way, maybe sometimes, but a very difficult way. And you're sort of standing there as the person who's maybe helped to make that happen. Is it tough?
It's interesting, Stuart, actually, because I think we've been desensitized to it now, because we get it more than you think. All kind of manner of emotions, really, from anger, frustration, you know, relief. You know, I'm telling you now, every day when we have an assessment, we bring people in and we put technology on them, or we help them, you know, on the journey with the technology. We get all of that. And we're there really just to listen, and then, you know, and then help them, you know, get over that. If it was, you know, upset or if it was elation, it's all good for us, because we know we can help them through it, you know, and or we got them to it, you know. We don't underestimate it when I say we're desensitized, but we see it so often now that we react to it as the person needs us to, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be, and I think you're right. I think sometimes that whole desensitizing thing can be useful in some respects. Yeah. And yet COVID has put us in a position where we haven't been face to face with people. So we've got to learn those things again, I think, to some degree, or at least I certainly have to. Mark, it's great to catch up with you as always. Really appreciate the fact that you're not even in your office today. You're out doing clinics, and you still took time to join us. So great work in Henshaw's, as always. We're delighted to be partnering with you guys on all sorts of things. And I definitely want to get you back on the show before the end of the year. But for the moment, stay well, and thanks a mil for chatting to us.
Oh, thanks for having us again. Cheers, Stuart.
And many thanks to Mark Belcher there. It's always great to chat to Mark. The guy has some energy and some passion in the whole area of assistive technology. And I know that Mark and the team at Henshaw's are doing super work in terms of engaging not only with their service users, but with all these other services that we all have to engage with to make sure that those services are accessible too. That's just about it for this edition of the show. We're back soon though, so until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight & Sound Technology, thank you for listening and goodbye.